Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, a very warm and hearty welcome to all our listeners to this beautiful Monday morning, alhamdulillah. I'm certainly looking forward to being in your company for the next hour, inshallah. As usual, we begin with our Monday morning focus, and in today's slot, we continue with the Ideal Muslimah. And of course, as you all know, this is a book written by Dr. Muhammad Ali Al-Hashimi, a wonderful book, a must-have, if possible, in many of our homes, at least in all our homes, alhamdulillah. And today we are currently doing the Muslim woman and her community or society, how a Muslim woman is supposed to behave in her community and in her society. And today we are looking at a particular and a very important points, it's how a Muslim woman does not boast or show off. And this, I think, is very pertinent. We need to talk about it because sometimes, like I say, we don't realize that we are actually doing it. And if you listen to this program carefully, you will hear how important it is for us to be aware at all times, you know, not to boast and not to show off. Okay, and that will be followed by Socially Speaking, and today we will be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal. I'll be speaking to our esteemed guest, Maulana Muhammad Venker, and inshallah we hope to discuss, some of the recent news with regards to inciting violence against Indians in the country. And Maulana will be dealing with it explaining about it from an Islamic perspective, inshallah. I think also very, very important. And we hope to talk a little about that as well. Let's start off with the Muslim woman or the ideal Muslimah. And today we're looking at she does not show off or boast. A Muslim woman does not show off, does not boast at all. And you will realize why, not at all, not even unknowingly. It is so important for us to know that. Well, they say the Muslim woman does not slip into the error of pride, boasting, and showing off. We should not have pride in us, not an ounce of pride. Never boast and never show off, because her knowledge of Islam protects her from such errors. If we are true Muslims, then we should know that we're not supposed to have an ounce of pride. We must not boast. We must not show up simply because Islam protects us from all these kinds of mistakes in our lives. She understands that the very essence of this religion is sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in word and deed. So any trace of a desire to show off will destroy reward, cancel out good deeds, and bring humiliation on the day of judgment. I'm going to repeat that. A Muslim woman understands that the very essence of religion is sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do, we need to be sincere, absolutely sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our aim, our goal must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only and no one else. Not in word and deed, whatever we say and whatever we do, any trace or a desire, even the slightest want, you know, to show off will just destroy our reward. The minute we do that, our rewards is destroyed, our good deeds are cancelled, and what will it bring to us on the day of Qiyamah? Humiliation. So we'll be humiliated on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in chapter 51 verse 56, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the goal behind the creation of mankind and jinn. So what we do? What is our aim, our goal in this world is to worship Allah alone, and that goes for men and for jinn. So that is what man and jinn is supposed to be doing, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And in worshipping, we need to be absolutely sincere. He also says, but this worship cannot be accepted unless it is done sincerely for the sake of Allah. So if we, no matter how much of worshipping we're doing, but how much of ibadat we're doing, but we are not sincere in what we are doing, then it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to be absolutely sincere. The word is sincere. We need to become sincere. If, you know, sometimes we do things and we don't realize, I don't say it's going to change overnight, you know, sometimes we do things but we don't realize what we are doing. But now that you are aware, we need to be, you know, all the time, whenever you do things, remember that, you know, ask ourselves, are we sincere? Or how sincere are we in our ibadat? How sincere are we? You know, this is a question we need to ask ourselves all the time, and we need to be absolutely truthful to ourselves. If we even find for one moment that we were not very sincere in what we are doing, then now is the time to start changing. We need to change, and we need to become perfect where our ibadat is concerned and our sincerity is concerned. And no matter what we do, we need to be sincere in what we are doing, and we need to remember to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran in chapter 98 verse 5, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and they have been commanded no more than this, to worship Allah, offering Him sincere devotion, being true in faith. When a Muslim woman's deeds are contaminated with a desire to boast or to show off or to seek fame and reputation, the good deeds will be invalidated. When we, you know, when Muslim women, when any of the deeds are contaminated in any way with just a desire or just a little bit of, you know, I just want to show off for a little, or if I just want to seek a little bit of fame, I want to do something so that they can say, oh, she did it, or she did it like this, or you know, she did it that way, it was, what she did was so great. And if you just want a bit of reputation, I'm on radio, so I've got this wonderful reputation. Nah, that is not what our purpose is. When you do something, you do it for the pleasure of Allah. You need to be sincere at what you are doing and what you are saying. If we don't, then our good deeds will be invalidated. It will be of no use. Her reward will be destroyed and she will be in a clear state of loss. The Quran issues a clear and a stern warning to those who spend their wealth, then remind the beneficiaries of their charity, of their gifts in a way that hurts their feelings and offends their dignity. You know, we are reminded over and over and over again, if you do any good deed, if you give any charity, for instance, you should give it with the one hand and the other hand should not know what you have done. We need to be so careful. When you do it for the pleasure of Allah. You do it with sincerity. And, you know, you must never, especially if you've given somebody something or helped them in some way, never let that person ever hear that I did this for you. It doesn't work that way. The minute you say that, every bit of good deed that you have done is not counted at all. And you should never hurt another person's feeling by telling them these things. You know, that, you know, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you are today. That's a very common thing that we always say. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have been here. You wouldn't have had this. You wouldn't have had that. We need to be so careful when we do good to others. In the Quran, in chapter 2, verse 264, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, O you who believe, cancel not your charity by reminders of your generosity or by injury. So don't remind the person of what you have done, and don't hurt the person by telling the person that I have done this for you. Like those who spend a substance to be seen of men, but believe neither in Allah nor the last day, they are in parable like a hard barren rock on which is a little soil. On it falls heavy rain, which leaves it just a bare rock. They will be able to do nothing with what they have earned, and Allah guides not those who reject faith. What it means is reminding the poor of one's generosity cancels out the reward of the acts of charity. Just as pouring water washes away all traces of soil on a smooth stone. The last part of the ayah presents the frightening admonition that those who show off do not deserve the guidance of Allah and are counted as kafirs. And Allah guides not those who reject faith. That's how careful we need to be. Such people's main concern is to appear to people to be doing good works. They are not concerned with earning the pleasure of Allah. Allah has described them as doing apparently good deeds. In chapter 4, verse 142, Allah Ta'ala once again says, "To be seen of men, but little do they hold Allah in remembrance." To be seen of men, but little do they hold Allah in remembrance. Thus, their good deeds will be thrown back in their faces, because they associated something or someone else with Allah, and Allah does not accept any deeds except those which are done purely for His sake. As is stated in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which he reports that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Allah said, "I am so self-sufficient that I am in no need of having an associate." Thus, he who does an action for someone else's sake as well as mine shall have that action renounced by me to the one whom he associated me with or with me. Right? The true Muslim woman is cautious when doing good deeds to avoid falling into the dangerous trap into which so many women who seek to do good have fallen over. You know, sometimes we do, but we don't think, we don't realize, we talk about it. And the moment you talk about the good deeds you have done, we are all guilty of it. We are all, you know, sometimes we don't think. We just say, "Oh, I did this for so and so." But you don't realize that when you do something, you do it to please Allah Ta'ala and don't broadcast it to everybody. Because the minute you do that, everything falls away. It is of no use. Now, this is something we as women always, unfortunately, do. And this is something we need to be, very careful about in the future, inshallah. When doing good deeds, to avoid, falling into the dangerous trap into which so many women who seek to do good have fallen without even realizing it, by seeking praise for their efforts and honorable mention on special occasions. See, this is, we do so many things. Do we do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we do it so that to please people, to see what people have to say about it, to see what others have to say about it? We have all these grand weddings and parties, and we go out of our way to do things. We're doing, one wedding, unfortunately, these days is better than the next. We always want to outdo another person. Why do we do it? It is just to show that I can do something better than you. Do we ever think for one moment that, what I am doing, I want to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what it is. It doesn't even have to be a big function. But whatever I am doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we do it for that reason? Well, it's something that we need to start thinking about. And what do? We do all these things. Why? Because we want people to praise us. To say, "Oh, did you see what a wonderful maybe dress she had on, or what does she, did you see what she did? Did you see what her function was like? Did you see what she cooked? We want people to praise us. We don't want people to praise us. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be happy with us. You know, if we do it sincerely for the pleasure of Allah only, things will be so different in our lives. Well, unfortunately for people that do things to please others other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our fall is terribly. We'll have a great fall indeed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly explained this issue and has referred to the terrible humiliation that those who show off will suffer on that awful day. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 26, verses 88 and 89, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Whereon neither wealth nor sons will avail, but only he will prosper that brings to Allah a sound heart." So whatever we do, we need to do it for the pleasure of Allah. We need to do it sincerely to please Allah only. Now this is mentioned in another hadith in which Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I think this is so important for us to remember. The first person to be judged on the day of resurrection will be a man who was martyred. And we hear of so many people being martyred these days. Now listen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this. He will be brought forward and Allah will remind him of his blessings. And he will, he will recognize them. Then he will be asked, "What did you do with them?" He will say, "I fought for your sake until I was martyred." Allah ta'ala will say, "You have lied. You only fought so that people would say he is courageous and brave," and they did say it. So don't think we can fool Allah Ta'ala. We can fool the world. We can never fool Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He knows everything about us. He knows every thought that goes into our minds. Then he will order that he be dragged on his face and thrown into fire. Right, that's the first person that is martyred. He says, I was martyred, and this is the reason I was martyred. But Allah Ta'ala knows best. Then there will be a man who studied much, and he taught others, and he recited the Holy Quran. He will be brought forth to Allah, and Allah will remind him of his blessings, and he will recognize them. Then he will be asked, "What did you do with them?" He will say, "I studied much and I taught others and I recited the Quran for your sake." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, "You have lied. You studied so that people would say he is a great scholar, and you recited the Quran so that they would say he is a qari." And they did say it. People did say it. Then he will order that he be dragged on his face and thrown into fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, "You lied. And for that, you will be dragged on your face and thrown into the fire of hell." Then there will be a man to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all types of wealth in abundance. He will be brought forth and Allah will remind him of his blessings, and he will recognize it or recognize them. Then he will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "What did you do with them?" And he will say, "I have never seen any way in which you would like money to be spent for your sake without spending it." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him or will say to him, "You have lied. You did not so, you, or rather you did so that people would say he is generous," and they did say it. Then he will order that he be dragged on his face and thrown into the fire. So you see, we may be doing it to please Allah Ta'ala in our own way, but we still want people to recognize it, people to say this about us, people to say that he is a you know, he's very generous, or he's so educated, and he reads the Quran so well, and he was martyred. But Allah knows what is in our hearts, so we need to be absolutely certain that what we are doing, we do it sincerely and for the pleasure of Allah, not for show, not to boast about it. Well, the intelligent Muslim woman who is truly guided by the Quran and the Sunnah carefully avoids slipping into the sin of boasting in any of its many forms. She is ever keen to devote all of her deeds exclusively to Allah, seeking His pleasure. And whenever the appalling specter of pride and boasting looms before her, she remembers and she adheres to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever makes a show of his good deeds so that people will respect him, Allah will show what is truly in his heart. Remember, you can fool the world, but you cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows everything about us, what is in our deepest thoughts and what is in our deepest of, you know, whatever we plan in our lives. So please be careful, be aware that next time we do something, make sure we push out every bad thought, the slightest, even a little speck of boasting and showing off must be out of our lives. We must try. I know it's difficult, it's not easy if you're in a habit of doing things, or sometimes we do it so unknowingly, but now that we know, we need to be absolutely careful and make sure that whatever we do it for and sincerely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. May Allah ta'ala guide us all, inshallah. Well, I'll be back, inshallah, for the next one in our next program, inshallah. Stay tuned. When we return, we'll be calling Mulana Mohammed Venka. Today we're discussing, recent news inciting violence against Indians in the country. And Mulana will be, talking to us about it from an Islamic perspective. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
Maulana Muhammad Banker.
We study many, many modern writers today say that Islam, na'udhu billah, was spread through the sword. Islam was not spread through fighting, but Islam was spread through that noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he's exalted by the very declaration of the Quran al-Kareem that وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا.
Every alternate week, they will also be discussing relevant social issues from an Islamic point of view. Be sure to catch this enlightening, inspiring, and spiritually uplifting discussion only on Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. The South African authorities have banned the leader of a radical forum for allegedly inciting racial hatred and violence against the Indian origin people in KwaZulu-Natal province, home to about a third of the country's 1.4 million strong community. The forum has been very vocal in recent months in its claims that Indians discriminate against and exploit the black community in all spheres of life. The leader and the organization have received much media attention due to derogatory remarks they have made regarding persons of Indian descent. In fact, the last message sent on Twitter are indeed very serious and indeed incite racial hatred, violence, and could even lead to bloodbaths. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Maulana Mohammed Venka from KwaZulu-Natal. How are you, Maulana?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are keeping well, and we make dua to make Allah that Allah ta'ala those who are not well, and Allah ta'ala grant them complete shifa, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Maulana, we're going to be talking about the recent news with regards to the inciting of violence against Indians in the country, but we will be talking about it from an Islamic perspective. But just in my introduction, Mulana, I know you have an introduction too, but just in the introduction that I made earlier, I just wanted to find out from you, maybe, Mulana, would you say to your knowledge that the claims that Indians discriminate against and exploit the black community, especially in the KwaZulu-Natal area, is it true or true to a certain extent?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we begin by praising Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We send countless blessings and salutations upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we answer the question, we need to go to the Quran al-Kareem and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find with regards to, this is a very, very vast topic. And to generalize and to say that this is happening on a wide scale and this is, you know, oppression, exploitation is happening openly, I don't think it is a fair, judgment to make, on any grouping, especially, you know, the Indian community or rather the Muslim community for that matter. You know, perhaps, and this is something which is absolutely correct, it does happen in certain isolated cases where there are people that are, you know, of indigenous descent who are working for us, and many of them are exploited. Some of them are not paid. What is the due? And this is something we need to acknowledge. You know, one is on one hand where these allegations have been leveled against Indians in particular, that, you know, exploitation, oppression, from the side of the Indians. But like I mentioned, to paint everyone with the same brush, it is not a fair judgment. It is not a fair comment to make. There are isolated, independent cases where people are oppressing those that are working for them. They're oppressing those either in their homes, either in their businesses, etc. But here again, we need to, as Muslims, what are the guidelines that Islam has provided for us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before leaving this world, there were certain advices he had given to this ummah. You know, normally when somebody passes away and their final parting advices, we normally latch on to it, or we even mention it to our children. And this is something that we hold very close to our hearts. The closing advices that Nabi alayhi salam had given to this ummah was, As-salah, as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum, that fear Allah with regards to the performance of your salah, and fear Allah with regards to the kind treatment of your subordinates, your servants. The ulama have written that in this one statement of Nabi alayhi salam, he has condensed his entire deen in its entirety. He has condensed his 63 years in its entirety. So the ulama have explained that the first part of the hadith, fear Allah with regards to the performance of your salah. If a person is particular with regards to the performance of his salah, then inshallah, when it comes to the other injunctions pertaining to deen and Islam, when it comes to the practical aspects of our sharia, then inshallah, such a person would never falter. The second part of the hadith, that fear Allah with regards to the kind treatment of your slaves, your subordinates, those that are working for you. You know, we could extend the meaning of this hadith, to those that are working for us in our businesses, those that are working for us in our homes. So the ulama have written very beautifully that that person will fulfill the rights of those that are working for him. Inshallah, such a person will fulfill the rights of every person in this world. A person will fulfill the rights of every person in this world. So this is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like always, too, our reference for guidance, navigation, when we are searching for a solution in any problem, we will have to turn to the Quran al-Kareem and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to answer the question, undoubtedly this is happening, to a certain extent in certain individual cases. But we cannot paint everyone with the same brush. Alhamdulillah, we find that the Muslims in this country have contributed quite extensively, to the upliftment of the indigenous of this country. Where feeding schemes take place, people whose lives have been empowered, etc. So, this is something we need to look at our individual lives. We have those that are working for us in the confines of our home. We have people that are working for us in our businesses, etc. How do we treat them? How do we speak to them? Do we pay them a livable wage? These are human beings. This is what we need to understand. For some of us, some of those that are working for us, apart from
you know, from working, but they are reciters of the Kalima. Many of them are Muslim. Some of us, we have those that are working for us in our homes. You know, they are not reciters of the Kalima. But here again, what does Nabi alayhi salam teach us? Al-khalqu kulluhum ayalullah. The entire creation of Allah is the family of Allah. And the one who is the most beloved in the eyes of Allah is the one who treats the family of Allah well. So whether they are Muslim, whether they are non-Muslim, Islam appeals to the fitrat of man. You know, some of us at times very boldly we say it, my domestic is working for me for the last 20 years. You know, the person who is working for me in my business is working for me for the last 30 years. Well and good. But if he is working for you for the last 20 years, if he has not asked you once about Islam, or you and I have not introduced Islam to them in any way or the other, then really we are, you know, we are filled to a great extent. You and I have been sent as the ambassadors to this beautiful religion of Islam. So we need to start off within the confines of our home. Those that are working for us, speak to them properly. Let us not abuse them. Let us not ill-treat them. You know how many times our children at home, you know, young children, they abuse the domestic servants. And we as parents, we laugh about it. Mm-hmm. Why be in authority? What did Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam advise his son? When your authority incites you to provoke the next man, at that time, remember the power and the authority that Allah has over you. So what the person who had come to the Nabi of Allah, and said of the Nabi of Allah, one of our children slapped our slave. And we just have come to ask you, what is your opinion regarding this? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes so upset. He said, if you do not see the slave of yours, you can dream about Jannah. Here we are speaking about those who are working for us in our businesses and our homes, these are not slaves. These are those who are assisting us in fulfilling our basic mundane things in this dunya.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, Maulana, very, very true what you've just said. It's so important for us. And unfortunately, you know, we see this happening where, you know, children would be so disrespectful towards, you know, the people that you are working for you. And unfortunately, you know, parents don't even reprimand children when they are disrespectful. And I think this is something which we need to really take cognizance of. Alhamdulillah. With regards, you know, the situation that we sometimes find ourselves in, are the conditions that we sometimes in, the bad conditions that we sometimes find ourselves in, dependent on the actions of men?
Yes, absolutely. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem, it's mentioned very beautifully that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. In the 13th juz of the Quran Kareem, in Surah Ra'd, Allah says that He will not change the condition of any nation until they decide to change themselves. You know, whilst this is the plight of the Ummah at present, you know, we look globally today, the entire Muslim Ummah is burning. The entire Muslim Ummah is in turmoil. We look in our country, every country is faced with their own challenges. In this country, we are faced with different challenges. At the moment, there is a drought in the country. There's going to be such crime in this country. The repercussions and the consequences of our evil deeds will definitely catch up with us. Like we find when people do not discharge their zakah, Allah would withhold rains. When we find according to certain narrations, when people will get involved in immoral activities in this world, وَالْأَوْجَاءُ الَّتِي لَمْ يَكُنْ مَرَضْ فِي أَصْنَافِمْ أَلَّتِينَ مَضَوْا أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. Allah will inflict that nation with sicknesses and diseases which were unheard of in the past. So most definitely the repercussions, the consequences of different sins will have a negative influence on that nation. For example, Nabi alayhi salam said, every good deed that you do will take up the form of an angel, and that angel will come to your rescue on a day that you need it the most. Similarly, a person who does not discharge his zakat, that wealth will be taken and converted into a serpent, and on Qiyamah's day it will bite him, it will poison him, and it will carry anakanzul anamalu. I am your wealth, I am your hoarded treasure from that which you do not discharge your zakat. So we need to look at our lives individually. Am I falling short in any way? And really, something we need to. When a person is in authority, when a person is in a position of authority, then naturally we would like to oppress. This is the inherent quality of man. I am in authority. I tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do.
you know, how many times doesn't it happen in the confines of our home? Something goes missing, you know, you cannot find your cell phone, you cannot find your wallet. Automatically, without investigating, what do we say? The domestic servant has stolen the wallet. She has stolen the cell phone. What does the Ali Salam say? That person who accuses his servant of something which is incorrect, such a boss, such a person will be brought on Qiyamah Day, and you will be left in front of your servant until and unless the servant is proven to be guilty or innocent. So really, it's a great crime. We need to look at it. So what we are talking about, let us look at our individual lives, those that are working for us. How do we treat them? How do we pay them? How many times doesn't it happen? You know, we go shopping and, you know, we buy sweets for our children, we buy this for our children, we buy that for our children. The domestic servant is living with us. She also has a child, which she's been back home during the weekend. Buy an extra packet of sweets, give it to her. Tell her this is for you and me, for your children. Those few words will go a long way. The token of appreciation, it will go a long way. Make people happy in life. And this is what Nabi Ali Salam has taught us. When one Sahabi asked the Nabi of Allah, the known Nabi Ali Salam, which is that action that constitutes the maximum benefit and earns the greatest reward in the eyes of Allah? Nabi Ali Salam said, make people happy in life. Bring a smile to a person's face. You are paying that person, that domestic servant of yours, or the person that is working for you in your business. End of the day, give them a little extra. You are paying them the salary end of the month, so every fortnight or every week. Give them 50 rand extra. Maybe for you and I, it means nothing. But I promise you, for the domestic servant, it means a lot. It will go a long way. Take the du'as of people, the du'a that will come out from my heart, I promise you it will travel with your generation. Undoubtedly, just to answer the question, that the actions of man will determine what conditions come down from the side of Allah.
We take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our programs. A reminder to our listeners, if you would like to comment, then please feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, and you can also SMS us on the number 082-84-92786 or WhatsApp us on that number. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenit, and my guest is Molana Mohammed Rinker from KwaZulu-Natal. Molana, you know, as Muslims, like we know, currently we are, you know, experiencing things like drought. Of course, you mentioned it. Crime is at its worst. And of course, right now, you know, this new thing about inciting violence against our the Indian community in our country. Now, what would you say can we as Muslims do to change these bad situations?
Undoubtedly, this is a very, very important question, and I think this is the question which is on the minds of each and every, perhaps Indian or other Muslim, you know, in this country. We cannot change the condition of the world globally. We can make dua to the Almighty Allah. We can contribute, you know, in cash or kind to, you know, to crisis in different parts of the world. But let us, inshallah, make a concerted effort, you know, to change our individual lives in some way or the other. You know, we speak about exploitation, we speak about oppression, you know, etc. Let us analyze our lives. Let us look in our homes. Those that are working for us, we spoke about it earlier on. You know, how do we treat them? How do we speak to those domestic servants? You know, do we show them that respect? Unfortunately, today, you know, we demand that respect. How sad a reality today. Somebody is working for us. The person is a reciter of the kalima. We know of many instances. The person goes for Jummah Salah, or a person goes for some other Salah, he comes back a few minutes late, and, you know, we criticize this man, we, you know, we attack him verbally, or at times we even cut off his salary. Now, this is not what Islam has taught us. You know, they are human beings end of the day. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times should I overlook and pardon my servant on a daily basis? Nabi alayhi salam said 70 times every day. These are human beings. They are bound to make mistakes. You know, sometimes the maid is ironing the domestic servant. She burns your garment and we cut it off from her salary. It's a human error. These are human beings. They make mistakes. At times they might break the dish, they might break this, something will go wrong. Let us not attack them, they are human beings end of the day. You know, when we speak about charity, then automatically the mind goes towards taking out money and giving. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, what a beautiful deen we enjoy, where Allah has provided us with an opportunity to escalate and elevate our stages in Jannah and to grant us a comfortable life. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? That lessen the burden of the person that is working for you, Allah will grant you the tawfiq. Allah will grant you the reward as though you had given perpetual charity in the path of Allah. So it is the day of Eid, it's a joyous occasion, I've got Muslims that are working for me. Let us make it a happy occasion for them. You know, the day of Jumu'ah, we sit down with our families, we have a sumptuous meal together. You know, during the weekends, we invite guests to come. And this is what the Nabi alayhi salam has taught us. إِذَا أَتَى أَحَدُكُمْ خَادِمُهُ بِطَعَامِ. When your servants, for many of us in our homes, our domestics, they prepare the food for us, they lay the tables for us. You know, they do so much for us. Time to eat, what do? We tell them, you go. When we finish, we will call you, then you clean up. What did Nabi alayhi salam teach us? That ideally, let that servant of yours sit with you on the table. If you find that below your dignity, then the bare minimum you should do is فَإِلَّمْ يُجْرِسُ مَعَا فَلْيُنَاوِلْهُ لُقْمَةً أَوْ لُقْمَتَيْنْ أَوْ أُقْلَةً أَوْ أُقْلَتَيْنْ. Prepare a platter of food. From where? From that which you have eaten. Let them eat the very same food that you have eaten. How many times doesn't it happen? You know, something is lying in the fridge. We discover it perhaps 2 or 3 weeks later. Take it, give it to the domestic servant. You know, we have old clothing that is torn and tattered. We have shoes that are torn and tattered. Give it to the domestic servant. What is not good for me and my family, is it good for that person? They are human beings. We are giving that person, I always say, that these are human beings. Allah is giving us an opportunity on a daily basis to serve that person who is taking care of our basic mundane things in this world.
Alhamdulillah. And finally, Mulana, the importance of empowering others.
Yes, undoubtedly, you know, to empower somebody, you know, to give that person, like we say in English, that beautiful saying, don't give a man a fish, but rather teach him how to fish. Don't give him a fish, rather teach him how to fish. You know, those that are working for us, alhamdulillah, some perhaps 20 years, 30 years, they will not be able to work for us for the rest of their lives. I mean, when that person leaves, after some time, that you have something to fall back on, or that you have to work for the rest of his life or her life, let us empower them. You know, give them opportunities in life. Allah has granted us opportunities. Some of us, Allah has granted us so much. You know, to empower people. You know, some person in our community, you know, they have a certain ability. They can sew, or they know how to cook, or they know how to do certain things. Let us empower them. You know, buy them the basic essentials and set them up in life. Alhamdulillah, you know, there are so many people I know personally. They have made a concerted effort on a monthly basis. They said that I made it my mission to empower one person, so that person, I promise you, when you do good to someone, you empower somebody, not only will it bring joy to you, but wallahi, the rewards are enormous. Tomorrow, that person, you know, that person will contribute in the name of Allah. That person will look after his family. All the good, you know, that person will do, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will give you the reward as well. So let us become an asset to humanity. This is a fundamental ingredient of our iman. This is an important component of our faith, that as Muslims, we need to become the benefactors of society. And this is what Nabi alayhi salam, when Nabi alayhi salam elucidated, that what is the deen of Allah? To be good to, you know, to the teachings, whatever Allah, the injunctions of Allah, we need to adhere to it. The injunctions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lengthy narration, Nabi alayhi salam said, to be good to the general masses. The general masses, whether they are Muslims, they are not Muslims. Except, inshallah, the asset to humanity. Leave behind a legacy that tomorrow when you leave this world, people will remember you for the positive legacy that you have left behind.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, once again for a wonderful and informative program. We certainly do appreciate all these advices that you share with us. And also, Ya Allah, make it easy for everyone out there. And of course, whatever we do, whatever effort we put into anything we do, let it be sincerely and for the pleasure of Allah, inshallah.
Jazakallah Jazakallahu khairan for the opportunity, and Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability that we imbibe these beautiful advices of Quran and Sunnah till we speak again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's it then from us. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.